You are now tuned to the Cedar Bay Civil Rights Talk Show. Now here's your host, the incomparable Errol Miner.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, human rights activists all over the world. Welcome back to the Communication Workers of America, CWA, Human Rights Hour Power, a justice field hour of talk, solidarity, and worker power right here on KYOK 1140 AM and the all-new 106.5 FM. If you're visiting the beautiful city of Houston, you can take us with you on kyokradio.org. You can now listen and subscribe to us on your favorite podcast player. CWA Strong app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and Podchaser. Search for CWA Hour of Power on your favorite podcast player. Thank you for joining us this morning on the CWA Human Rights Hour Power Radio Show. It's about us. That's right. It's about us. Working agreement, solidarity, living wages, worker power, and simply put, human rights. Honk your horns if you support workers. We have a phenomenal show lineup with Makia Jones, Sir Reginald Small, Timmy Wiley, and Tay Akins today. So don't you dare change that dial. We're going to be talking about the power of wellness, post-election wellness unity, the union buster of the week. And if we have time after our discussion, we're going to go right into the Hour Power trivia. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. Our union voices are ringing in every district, from Alaska to Maine, Texas to Minnesota, Canada to Puerto Rico, because we don't play at CWA. Our union brothers, sisters, and siblings at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette have been outside for 24 months striking on the picket lines. And yet, while they are out striking, they're still churning out the news with facts for you and me. Let's show our support to them by making sure we subscribe to unionprogress.com. Once you subscribe to this free publication, how about going over and donating to their strike fund at cwa.org/ppg-donate. I just heard someone shout, "When we fight, we win." Our brothers, sisters, and siblings at Maximus are still fighting for a contract. And so we ask that for Maximus and their families, cwa.org/CCW Solidarity Fund, and donate to the Maximus workers. You are tuned into KYOK 1140 AM and the all-new 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on kyokradio.org or on your favorite podcast player. Candace Weber is a prominent human rights activist and community leader in Houston, Texas, dedicated to addressing systemic injustices and advocating for Black lives. As a lead organizer for Black Lives Matter Houston and co-founder of Houston Rising, Weber is known for her work in amplifying the voices of marginalized communities, particularly Black women and Black LGBTQIA+ individuals. Her activism stems from her experience with racial disparities in rural Texas, motivating her lifelong dedication to equity and justice. Candace Weber emphasizes education as a powerful tool in her activism, believing it is crucial for breaking down systemic barriers and achieving equity. She views education as a neutralizer that can provide marginalized populations with the knowledge and resources needed to navigate and challenge discriminatory policies and structures. Weber's focus on education manifests through her work with Black Lives Matter Houston and Houston's Rising, where she helps connect community members and with educational resources, guidance on navigating institutional policies, and tools for self-advocacy. She has also spoken about the importance of educating not just individuals and in marginalized communities, but also allies and broader audiences on racial justices. For example, Weber recommends essential readings such as White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo and How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram X. Kendi to help allies understand and dismantle systemic racism. Through workshops, public talks, and community events, she seeks to raise awareness about the specific challenges facing Black communities, emphasizing that knowledge and understanding can lead to sustainable, inclusive social change.
Approach is grounded in a belief that self-empowerment and community solidarity can be fostered through knowledge by equipping individuals with the skills and understanding to advocate for themselves. Weber hopes to foster a more informed and proactive community in Houston and beyond. Weber's work with Black Lives Matter focuses on issues such as police brutality, systemic racism, and the inequities faced by the Black and Brown communities. She actively organizes events and initiatives aimed at supporting these communities, such as the March for Black Women in Houston. This annual event gathers thousands to honor Black women, fostering a sense of community and highlighting issues impacting them, including immigration reform and social justice advocacy. By centering Black women's experiences and giving them a platform, Weber and her collaborators challenge the societal invisibility of Black women in public discourse and policy discussions. Beyond protests, Weber's work emphasizes education as a means to empower marginalized groups. She believes in connecting people to resources that can help them navigate discriminatory institutions and policies. She also advocates for diverse representation, creating spaces where Black women can lead and express their unique cultural experiences without filtering through the perspectives of others. Weber's accomplishments extend to creating solidarity across racial and ethnic divides, helping communities understand that issues like immigration and criminal justice reform affect Black women as much as other groups. Through her work, she hopes to inspire others to speak out, protect Black children, and build a stronger, more resilient community in Houston and beyond.
Beyond protest, Weber's work emphasizes education as a means to empower marginalized groups. She believes in connecting people to resources that can help them navigate discriminatory institutions and policies. She also advocates for diverse representation, creating spaces where Black women can lead and express their unique cultural experiences without filtering through the perspectives of others. Her activism, inspired by figures like Angela Davis, seeks to inspire self-sufficiency and pride within Black communities, using both grassroots organizing and institutional change. Weber's accomplishments extend to creating solidarity across racial and ethnic divides, helping communities understand that issues like immigration and criminal justice reform affect Black women as much as other groups. Through her work, she hopes to inspire others to speak out, protect Black children, and build a stronger, more resilient community in Houston and beyond. You are tuned into KYOK 1140 AM and the all new 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on kyokradio.org. Listen and subscribe to us on your favorite podcast player, CWA Strong app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and Podchaser. Search for CWA Hour of Power on your favorite podcast player. Up next, Makia Jones with the power of wellness. Good morning, Makia. It's good to have you in the studio this morning.
Good morning, Errol, and good morning, KYOK radio listeners. I'm so happy to be back today. I wanted to discuss with you all today the power of wellness. Just in this particular climate and this time where we have to come back from such a huge divide, I guess, in our communities, I think it's best that we start to concentrate on our wellness and bring ourselves back to who we are at our core, and we're just kind and good people. So when you think about wellness, people often think about like your physical health, nutrition, exercise, weight management, et cetera. But it's so much more. Wellness is a holistic integration of your physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, fueling the body, engaging the mind, and nurturing the spirit. It's the state of being in good health, especially as a pursued goal. Wellness is the act of practicing healthy habits on a daily basis to attain better physical and mental health outcomes. So instead of just surviving, you're thriving. And we all want to thrive while we're alive, right? So how do we gain and maintain wellness? Wellness can be achieved in many ways, including physical wellness, which is like eating well, getting enough sleep, exercising regularly, good nutrition. So like eating nutritious foods and avoiding bad habits like smoking or excessive alcohol consumption. And excessive does mean a whole bottle of wine, Reggie. You can also make sure to exercise, 20 to 30 minutes daily, which can improve your well-being, and you can make exercise fun or not even exercise at all, like, taking your dog out for a walk or making sure that you actually walk to the mailbox and get your mail every day or ordering something from Amazon so you can have something to lift. I don't know. You can also make sure that you get enough sleep. Aim for 7 to 8 hours of interrupted sleep if you're an adult and 9 to 12 hours for children. I wish I was a child. Stay hydrated. Dehydration can negatively impact your physical and mental health. And then make sure that you're getting all of your yearly screenings, your preventative services such as wellness exams, vaccinations, and cancer and diabetes and osteoporosis screenings. Now, again, wellness is the complete integration of your body, mind, and spirit, and the realization that everything that we do, think, feel, and believe has an effect on our state of well-being. So we're going to focus on mental health and emotional wellness for a second. So emotional wellness is being aware of your feelings and sharing them with people that you trust and practicing mindfulness. Mindfulness is the exercise to improve focus and be mindful. When we say we be mindful, we ask that you practice being aware of and paying attention to the present moment without judgment. It involves observing your thoughts, emotions, and surroundings without reacting to or evaluating them. And also, we need to practice social connectedness. So develop strong relationships with family and friends and make time for social contact. We tend to isolate ourselves in times of stress instead of relying upon those human connections that make us whole. And be present in the moment. Try to live in the present moment and avoid negative self-talk. Often we find ourselves disappearing into our minds and social settings and losing ourselves to negative thoughts. And this is where we need to be intentionally present. Focusing and connecting to the right now can help prevent and reduce stress levels. And lastly, it's occupational wellness. Find work that you enjoy and are enriched by. You know the saying, when you're doing what you love, it doesn't feel like work. And this is why I enjoy coming on the radio, talking to you all every Thursday, sharing experiences and learning with you all has had like such a huge positive impact on my life and my journey to wellness. So remember, wellness is a complete harmony of the body, mind, and spirit. Be mindful of others and your internal biases, but also be kind to yourself. Take care of yourself physically as best as you can and be present and understand that nurturing yourself is not selfish. It's essential to your survival and your well-being. But above all things, enjoy all of the moments you can while you can. Be well. Back to you, Errol.
Thank you so much, Makia, with the power of wellness. And I know it's 5 o'clock somewhere, but thank you so much for the power of wellness. Well, as everyone, all of our co-hosts are in the studio today, and as we are coming to our next discussion, our next segment, it is very important that we take the time out today to talk about post-election wellness unity. And so all of our hosts, as they're adjusting their microphones and getting ready to dive on into here, let's start talking about it. After a candidate's loss, it's common to feel disappointment, frustration, or even grief. So let's talk about processing the loss and moving forward and how it helps channel your values into everyday actions, which can really feel just as fulfilling as any campaign. And Makia has already talked about it a little bit, and she said, acknowledge your feelings. So let's delve right on into it and let's talk about acknowledging your feelings. First and foremost, you must allow yourself to process the emotions, whether they're disappointment, frustration, sadness, and avoid suppressing or ignoring them, as it's natural to feel invested after supporting a particular candidate. So you've got to acknowledge the emotional intensity of the elections and how personal investment can heighten feelings of defeat. Reginald?
Well, Errol, I guess you've that opening statement kind of said it all, that we know when we go into elections, someone wins and someone actually does not win. So we have to deal with the reality of that. And yes, processing emotion has been an emotional election before and then after, after it's all over, after the birthday party is over and you have to clean it all up. It leaves you with certain feelings. And so I think this is a very important conversation to actually have and to actually figure out how one must walk forward post-election. So to me, I like to highlight some common goals, creating a new vision of unity and strength. What does that actually look like? So I think as it pertains to actually unions and other organizations, is to remind members that regardless of the political outcome, your organization, the union, has a shared mission and it remains unchanged, which means that we need to continue on our normal path in this movement.
That's correct, Errol. We want to feel the feelings and then we want to move on. It is okay to be in the moment, to recognize your emotions. That's the way you take care of yourself, by acting like you have no feelings towards certain things. Then you become overwhelmed. You're suppressing all of those things that it is okay to let out. And sometimes we forget to be easy on ourselves. That's the thing. We forget to be easy on ourselves. We all, no matter who we chose to vote for, we had a lot invested. We were all doing a lot of work. We were all doing a lot of our own research. So it's okay to feel a little bit of disappointment. Be easy on yourself. Don't feel like you're weak for feeling disappointed in the outcome. But also, this leads to not making others feel a certain way because of the outcome. Getting on social media, we've noticed a lot of, trolling and a lot of disheartening posts that we see. And something that I want to kind of give people advice on is let's not share those things. Let's not engage in those things. Let's not give those people what they're looking for. A lot of the times, it's not really even about your emotion or how you feel. It's about being monetized and growing your page or that click. And if we share those things just to give our opinion, whether our opinion is positive or not, we're supporting that. We're supporting that more than we would know. And I think that when we are being easy on ourselves, we need to be mindful of what we see and what we post on social media platforms as well. That's something I think is really big right now because we're all seeing.
And I agree. I think that it's super important to be aware and not to engage in divisiveness, right? Like I said, when it comes to the election, I feel like we're all made to make a choice, pick a side, right? That's basically what we're told to do in that setting. But then we have to understand that no matter what choice we made or no matter what side we picked, we all have to move forward as a collective, as a country, as a community, as people. And we have to be kind to ourselves and kind to others because we are still in this world together. right? Like, I like to think that the world revolves around me, but I have to also be realistic and understand the fact that it doesn't. And so when you approach it that way and you approach it from a space of love and kindness, it's easier to move forward even when you're disappointed. It's easier to have that acceptance and to be able to rebuild yourself from a place of understanding, because I think that's a huge thing too. It's like a lot of us, well, why did they do that? Or I don't understand this. And it's like, listen, if you take the time to listen and to understand that maybe you won't understand their perspective and maybe you won't understand or agree with why someone chose something that you didn't agree with. As long as we agree and decide and make the choice to move forward together, we'll be okay. And I think that's something that we all need to focus on.
Yeah. And what I liked, what Reginald said a little bit earlier, you have to learn to move from disappointment to action. There are things that we can learn from this particular election. And one of the things that we have got to learn in our community, in our union, is that we have to promote self-care and emotional wellness. You know, because you will go down a rabbit hole. You'll be fully disappointed. You'll be angry. You'll be frustrated. And all of these emotions, when you have invested in something, the emotions are normal. But you also have to find some healthy outlets for emotions. You have to find that time to sit somewhere quiet. You might have to walk out on your lanai 50 million hundred times. You might have to journal. You might have to take a walk. You might have to exercise. And then you also need to find someone where you can have open discussion to express your feelings and then do it constructively. And what I like Tate said earlier was limit your media exposure. That is the number one killer for a lot of people when they're on social media and they get all bent out of shape. And what you have to realize, you have a lot of keyboard warriors. They won't, you know, say a lot of this in your face. But they're just keyboard warriors. So limit your media exposure. Turn it off. Turn everything off. Turn off the news stations. Just go look at ESPN.
Can I jump in real quick?
Come on, Timmy.
I call them cyber thugs because they love to thug behind the computer. But I do want to say, for those of us who have children or young people in their lives, check on them too. I didn't realize how much the election affected my daughter, because with a lot of the misinformation on social media, my daughter knows that her mother works for a labor union, and she has heard that Donald Trump, our new president-elect, is not a fan of labor unions. So that made her, she was very upset that I was going to lose my job. And that's not, that's the mind of a child. So if you have children, you have young people around you, make sure you check on them as well. That's all I wanted to say. Tamia, I will say social media is a very beautiful, but it can also be an ugly place. And again, like Errol said, we sometimes have to disconnect, and we sometimes have to limit our own audience as well. And I want to be able to tell you can do those things. So a lot of people don't know that you can limit your audience. If you're seeing things that are negative to you, you can not only just block those, you can take them out of your own feed. If you don't want to engage with certain things like that, you have the option to put in certain word select. If you don't want to see hateful things on your feed, you put that in and you turn your news feed into something else. So we want to disconnect as well, but we also want to reset our audience. If we realize that it's not working for us, and every time I get on my social media page, I'm upset, that means that this isn't working for me and I need to kind of restructure this out here. And there are ways on social media to keep that stuff out of your feed. So take advantage of it, do your research, and make sure you're utilizing it, because right now it's so much stuff that we don't want to see. We don't want it to be shared. We don't want to highlight. We want to put the positivity back on social media. We want to put the solidarity back on social media. We want to remind people that this election was not meant to divide us. It was not meant to divide us. We will all have differences. At all times, we will have differences, but hate will never be accepted. That's the part that social media is kind of taking over, is that hate was the point of the, no, that's not the point. That's not what we were fighting for. And that we are now doing exactly what is meant to happen. We're all divided, but for what reason?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you said something earlier about like how you can go and you can edit and alter, you know, your settings to make it what you want. And I do believe that, right? Like the internet is what you make it, right? Depending on what you click on or what you look at or what you watch, your algorithm changes. And the internet is truly what you make it. And I feel like our world is what we make it to. And now, again, it's a time to take action. If something happened during this election, or if you feel like something is going to happen because of it, now is the time to take action and collectively unite with other like-minded individuals that want to see more positive changes and want to see the good things that we know that we can produce. And now it's time for us to come together. Like you said, we're here, right? We're activists and we work for a labor union and we're human rights activists. And now is the time to put those human rights and those efforts forward. Now is the time to say, okay, hey, that was the outcome, but you know what? I'm still going to push for this. This is the outcome. And people are saying that they're going to do this to this particular marginalized group of people. You know what? We're not going to stand for that. And we're going to come together and we're going to continue to move it forward. Whether, you know, for me, it doesn't matter who's in office. At the end of the day, our issues are our issues and our problems are our problems. And if we want to resolve those problems and if we want to combat those issues, then we're going to have to come together and work together and move forward in any way, right? So like you said, the internet is what you make it, and our world is what we choose to make it, and we can choose to make it better and put the action behind it. Right, Reginald?
That is correct. That is absolutely right, Makia. And, you know, and we have to actually build collaboration with the person who has been elected. Regardless to the political affiliation, they now represent everyone. So in order for us to continue with our movement building and our completing our goals, we must build collaboration with these with whomever the elected official is, because this in order to continue with our future, we must do that. And then I want to go back to focusing on the positive. I really like that, and how we can kind of, when you start talking about social media and stuff, my ears always perk up because I think I lag there. But to shift our focus to our past successes, personal and organizational, and to remind our members of their value and remind them of what they've done. And also as leaders, organizing, we did a whole bunch of reaching out to the community members, family, we set up plans. We've done all of that stuff, and we've done it in a way that was very, very important. But now we need to also reach back out to these same people and talk to them about moving forward and what the plan is, and not to lose them, because the momentum is there and we need to continue with it, because they were an important part of this. However the vote went or however they voted, they are part of this movement now. They are a part of this society, and we need to keep these people engaged.
And one of the things that Tay was talking about, changing your algorithms, changing what you're seeing. And that's one thing that everyone needs to focus on, is that focus on what you can control. Focus exactly what you can control. Reflect on ways you can make a difference, both personally and within your community. And sometimes local issues or union initiatives, as Reginald stated, provide a more immediate and impactful outlet than national elections. You got to focus on those things that bring you satisfaction. And let me say this, because we've talked a lot about the voting processes with Timia's segment. Local elections are really more important than national elections. Because if you can get like-minded individuals to take on your ideas and how your community is shaped and get them to focus on that, then if you start dealing with your local issues, then after a while, you can get individuals in those national spots that will also focus on the issues that bring you joy.
And that's where it comes into labor having the common goals. We want to highlight our common goals and bring us back together with those common goals. Regardless of any outcome, the union has shared the same mission, and we will continue to fight for the same thing. So it's basically what we're trying to do is remind everyone that with all of the changes that shall come about, we still have a lot of work to do. So we want us to rest up, take some time for ourselves, disconnect from all the negativity, change your algorithm. The more you engage with negativity, the more you see negativity, and kind of put the power back into your own hand. Put it back into your own hand, because we still have a lot that we need to do.
And one of the things you also have to do is when it comes to self-care and emotional wellness, you must have community support. That means that you advocate for leaning on friends, family, or fellow members for support to maintain a sense of connection. Touch your neighbor and say, you're not going through this by yourself. And that's when you come together as a collective, lean on each other, talk to each other, and get your feelings out.
Yes, it's super important to find a healthy and positive way to deal with your feelings. And I'm putting a lot of emphasis on healthy and positive, because we do not want to take in negativity and then bring that back out. So it's super important to take in and find a way to find a healthy release to move forward. Like Errol said, maybe exercise. Let me tell you something. I almost turned into Forrest Gump and just started running and running and running. You know, so find ways, healthy, proactive ways, like I mentioned in our wellness segment earlier, to release that stress. And you know what? I know that we took a lot of this person, right? Because this is our day-to-day lives. But as much as you can and as best as you can, try not to take everything so personally, right? Because again, it's not what someone else is going through or someone else's choices. They may affect you, but they made them based on them, not based on you. Right. Mm-hmm. So let's try to move forward again, like as a collective, and not try to take everything so personally. Be positive, be kind to each other, be mindful of not only our social media intake, but what we're putting out on there. Be mindful of how we're going to treat our neighbor when we see our neighbor in the grocery store in the neighborhood. We just have to be aware of ourselves and our feelings and how we're going to turn whatever we may be feeling into something positive and something that we can use to project us all forward.
And one of the things that we also have to do is create a new vision of unity and strength. We highlighting the common goals, reinforcing the group identity, plan positive action. And one of the things that I don't know about you guys, but one of the things that I went down the rabbit hole with it. But one of the things that I was focusing on that it makes our job more difficult, more harder. But one of the things that I also realized, and I don't know if you guys felt this or felt this way, was it gave me more determination that we must continue to work harder, inform about human rights and about civil rights, about women's rights. So we're not giving up. We're not turning away. We can't right now. We must continue with our fight in human rights.
Yeah, I agree with that. My wise boss lady mentor told me that human rights are now more important than ever. Mm-hmm. And as human rights activists, I do think that it's very important for us to sit and think about everything that happened when it came to ads and lies and the detriment to marginalized groups during this election. The way that they were targeted and terrorized, for lack of a better term, and as human rights activists. Now, that was a part that I did take personally. And I really did have to sit with myself and try to understand what the purpose of that was. And what I deduced was, you know what? I don't care about what the purpose of why they were doing it. I know that my purpose is to make sure that it doesn't happen again. And my purpose is to make sure that no one has to feel like a ploy in an attempt to undermine the success of a movement and the success of a people and the movement that they're involved in, just based off of someone who just wants to be who they are. Like, no one should be targeted for existing. And that was nasty. And my goal as an activist and as a human rights activist is to help those people and to join in those fights even more now. Like you said, I'm more determined than ever to help push those people forward and push it all forward as a collective, because that was crazy to me. And no one should feel like that. No one's personal values should be used as something negative.
Right. We had dinner, my mom and Aria and myself yesterday. We had dinner, and Aria was talking about or expressing how people came in her job. They were just feeling down and out, some in tears. And I told her, I said, well, Aria, a lot of people are invested. And they have put their all in all into things. And I closed out with one of my sayings when I was talking to her. I said, well, Aria, what you have to remember is that freedom is a consistent and constant fight for a right. Every generation has to fight for their rights. And when you are invested in something and you are defeated, then are you feeling the agony of defeat? Then what you have to do is you have to regroup and then refocus on everything.
So something, when we talk about, wellness, and we talk about making sure that we are okay and taking care of ourselves, something we all want to kind of task ourselves with as well is to check in on others, to be there for others. I don't know if you have those strong friends, but I have those what we call strong friends who don't really talk about their feelings. Sometimes we need to go and ask them, how are you feeling about, and I know you did all of this and you had this going on, so how are you feeling? So I want us to remember that we as a union are here to support others as well. So as we focus on ourselves, please, please be kind to others and also be there to support others who don't speak about how they feel and how this has affected them as well. Like I said, those strong friends is what my mom taught me to call them. But those are the ones who are right now, they're not really talking about it, but this segment is something that they would definitely benefit from, is understanding to take care of yourselves. But again, us, the people who are talking about how we know we can overcome these things, be there for others as well.
We
Right.
absolutely,
Go ahead, Timmy.
No, I would say it's such a community. It just goes back to the fundamentals of community. It's us looking out for one another, checking in on one another, and just being there for one another, because we at the end of the day, we're still the United States of America. I come from a military background, and just from that, whoever is in charge is in charge, whether you like them or not, and whether you agree with them or not, you still honor and respect the title, the position, what have you. And like Tay was saying, for many, that including myself, how do I say it was? It's a tough pill to swallow. But we have to swallow that pill, and we have to come out on the other side of this ahead as a union, as a United States of America, as people, as citizens. I was talking to a good friend of mine who is worried about some of the medications that she is taking. We really have to slow down and see what's affecting people and where they are, because there's some things that I may have access to that somebody else may not have access to. And we as a community are going to have to pull together and come out triumphant. I hate to get preachy, but God sees all of this. Nobody gets in office without his approval, you know? So the spiritual aspect for me is what has helped me, and is to move forward. I think that we have to, whatever it is that you subscribe to, whether it be religion, what have you, I think that now is the time to hold on to that. And you know, during your meditation time or during your walking time, it's a great time to have a conversation with, for me, it would be my Lord and Savior. For you, it may be somebody else. But now is the time to dig deep, check on other people, and maybe share some of that wisdom that you have with other people.
That's a very good point. And I don't want to go too far on that, but there's a scripture that comes to mind that Paul wrote, and he said that I know how to be abased and I know how to be abound, in whatsoever state I find myself in, therewith to be content. Because one thing about it, God will see us through. And don't make me start preaching and give you 3 points in a poem.
Listen, I get up and shout. Don't play with me. I will run around this. I'm in my basement. I get up and take off running.
Yes, in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith I've learned therewith to be content. And when you walk in peace, you don't fret all of this. Yes, you get disappointed, but you know how to walk in peace, and you know how to bring that peace. And then again, the Bible always also says that if we keep our mind stayed on him, he will keep us in perfect peace. Now I digress.
That's it. But that's where you have to have your own faith. And some people may not have faith. But for me, there's got to be a center that you go back to. Where is your strength within you? And where do you find your strength? And I know this is Labor Radio, but I'm trying to walk that thin line, but I know what keeps me strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what keeps me walking and looking forward, and has changed my negative into a positive.
Yes. Shake that dust off and move on.
Yes, exactly. So I admonish people to find what makes them stronger. What keeps them going? What is it? Is it your children? Where's the positive in that? Where can you find a positive in a situation if you're not feeling the best? Because there's some people who may be just ecstatic right now. You know, and that's just I'm trying to, y'all, walk in this thin line. But I just want to admonish everyone to remember those happy places. Remember what makes you stronger. And just remember that we are a community. We are a family. We are the United States of America. And if we ain't gonna do nothing else, we gonna make it through.
And as CWA members, we are going to unite. We're going to keep the unity in our organization. So Reginald, tell me, how do we move forward?
Well, I have some ideas of moving forward, but one of them consists of actually organizing plan an event where members can actually connect, reaffirm their shared values, and refocus on collective objectives. And maybe even with that community, with that unity event, actually invite one of the winners, invite one of the people who are actually have been elected into office, so that they can actually share some insight and actually talk a truthful plan to us, so that we're not getting who we think they are by social media and by other means, but directly from them.